Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
I want you to know that faith is not going to lead you into places that you always will know what's going to happen. I hope you understand what I just said. Faith does not lead you and then give you a movie to watch so that you can be prepared for what's going on. Faith says, I trust you, God, no matter what is in my way.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for being with us again here on Revive Radio. Let's get back into the continuation of this message series with Pastor Rogers. This is part two from American Idols. Let's get back into the word with Pastor Rogers today.
Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and others to come and prophesy to them that if they didn't stop this idol worship and offering up their children to Baal, to a God that was not God, to the deaf, dumb, and blind gods of Jeremiah, prophesying to them that these gods of wood, hay, and stubble can't see, they can't hear, and they can't answer your prayers. Turn your affection, repent, and turn back to God. But they refuse to do it. And I want you to know that that's a critical thing for us to understand, because it wasn't like Judah didn't know that the enemy and judgment was coming. But nobody wants to hear a preacher say that. We want you to know that everything is just going to be roses and gold bricks all the way to heaven. And then we have taught a generation now who do not have the endurance, and even people that have been in the church for a long time are finding out that their faith was not strong enough to keep them in the place that they needed to be, and they're falling away. But we don't want to hear about judgment coming, because that means I'd have to repent and change the way that I've been conducting business. But I came to tell you from behind this pulpit today with microphone and Bible in hand, this is a world that is headed towards the judgment bar of God, and only the redeemed of the Lord will stand in that day, and I want to be counted in that number. So I think I'll take up my Bible and find out what God said the way I should live. This is important, because I've had, and I talked to a pastor last night a little bit on the phone, and we were talking about this entire season and all that's going on and things that are happening, and we're finding out that too many of our people, in fact, he said one guy came into the church who had been in the church for a long time, and when he started preaching and dealing with issues of the politics of the day from the Bible perspective, that man said, "You keep politics out of the pulpit," and walked out the door, and he's not seen him since. Well, if that was true, John the Baptist would have never preached to Herod the king and say, "You're having an incestuous relationship with your family member and God's going to judge you." If that wasn't true, Elijah would have never sent a letter right on into Jezebel, the political leader of the day, and said, "I'm going to take down all of your prophets of Baal." If that wasn't true, Jesus would not have stood in the house of the very ruler of the day and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. Your kingdom is here, but my kingdom is out of this world." Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this Bible speaks to your financial, your economic, your physical life. It speaks to your political life. It should speak to every part of your life. And when you exercise or separate the two, you'll find out that you're lost without a God who is sending a word to you today. Judgment is going to come. He told Judah, if you don't turn around, Jeremiah came and said, if you don't turn around, Ezekiel said it, Isaiah said it. He sent the prophets, listen, for more than 100 years they heard this message. After years of warning, God said, "I'm done." And he watched, and the countries watched as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and I want to say this to you, hear me clearly. Everybody that's in John Taylor's class knows what I'm talking about when I speak about Babylon. Babylon's coming back. That spirit of Babylon system is already here. So King Nebuchadnezzar came out of Babylon, which would be modern day Iraq, and went down into Egypt and conquered all of Egypt, and then made his way right up into Judah. As I speak today, just for your information, The Armenians are in a fight in the middle of the Middle East with Azerbaijan and Turkey and Syria and Lebanon. As I speak today, 60,000 troops of the King of the East, China, are amassed on the borders of Taiwan and are calling for war. And America has just developed a rocket that hit within 6 inches of its target, thousands of miles, more than 1,200 miles away from its destination, from its launch, and hit it within 6 inches of its target. Pastor, what does that have to do with Babylon and all that's going on? I'll tell you, every bit of what I've just said is prophesied in this Bible right here, if you'll read it. Now, why did I say that? Because what's already been prophesied, if we can watch and see what's going on in the past, we can know what God is going to do in the future. And away with all this false prophets and preachers that come up and tell you God's not a God of judgment. He's just a God of love. I want you to know He's a God of mercy, but He's a God of justice. He's a God of grace, but He's a God of judgment. And when God's people begin to turn their back, He said, I'm going to allow the enemies of God to come and get their mind right to turn them back towards me. Come on, can somebody hear this Bible preaching today? They come into Judah just like was prophesied. And they don't come in with the protection and the garnering of the Geneva Convention. They don't come in with the rules of engagement. The Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar came into Judah with them knowing full well they were coming. Even by name, Jeremiah said, Babylon is coming. They entered into that place. They took the king and put pokers in his eyes and burned them out. They took the small babies and threw them against the wall and smashed their heads to pieces. They raped the women and stole the best and the brightest of Judah. You would know some of them by name because the Bible identifies them as Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. These are the names that we're not quite as familiar with. We're more familiar with their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel and 70 of the choice, brightest, youngest of Judah were taken captive into Babylon. And they were taught the culture of Babylon. They were schooled in the Babylonian schools. They had friends in Babylon. They worked in Babylon, not just worked. They actually rose to places of high leadership and favor within the Babylonian government and kingdom in a foreign land. Yet they always maintained, according to the scripture, worship of the one true God. It is possible to have favor in a foreign land if you know who you worship. Some of you are saying, I wish I could get out of this job. And God said, I kept you on that job so that those heathens over there can have the presence of salt and light. I need somebody who will walk into the enemy's camp and still have favor upon their life. And so, King Nebuchadnezzar, the egomaniac that he was, in Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see the outline of the great statue, the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had a horrifying nightmare dream and no one in his kingdom could interpret, but they said, bring Daniel. We understand he has the ability to interpret dreams. Daniel came in and interpreted the dream and he said, you are that head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar, but your kingdom will be taken over by the Medes and the Persians of the chest of silver. And then that kingdom will be taken over by the Greeks under Alexander the Great. And then that kingdom moves to the legs that will be taken over by the world systems of Christianity, both the Western and the Eastern. But the last and final will be that under the Antichrist, or under that eighth kingdom the book of Daniel describes, that is mixed with clay and with iron, that will be the most ruthless, and it will be the reincarnation of the old Roman Empire underneath the times that Jesus was on this earth under the Roman government, who actually invented the horrible execution of crucifixion. And so he tells him this major empires, and according to history, they were laid out just like that. To this day, that statue, that nightmare that King Nebuchadnezzar had, haunted him. But they say between chapters 2 and chapter 3 that we read this morning, there was some 16 to 20 years worth of a time span. And apparently the egomaniac that he was, King Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm not going to have any other serving of any other empires. I want to be and am the king, the head, forever. And so, under his direction and under his guidance, the obsession of this king commanded that an image to be built. Listen to this image. The image, he said, would be 60 cubits. That is 60 cubits by 6 cubits. That means that the statue in the plains of Dura stood 90 foot tall. Currently, that's about 25 feet or so up to the roof of that. Imagine a 90 foot overlaid gold statue in the middle of the plains of Dura that when the sun hits it, it's blinding to the eyes. And according to the record, some more than 300,000 people came out of the city of Babylon to worship on this particular day. I want you to note from the Word of God, because what the Bible says in the past is what happens in the future. And the Bible lets us know that this was measuring 6, 6, and the number of man, Nebuchadnezzar, is 6. This image that Nebuchadnezzar has will return in its functionality and spirit in the latter times that we're living in right now. This is the Babylonian system that will return according to Revelation 17 and 18, and has now got its foothold already. It is a political, economic, military, and religious system that will come under the Antichrist. And King Nebuchadnezzar was a type and shadow of the Antichrist in his ruthlessness and in his authority and obsession. And what did King Nebuchadnezzar do but pass a law? He passed a law. He gave his word. He commanded that everyone in his kingdom should come out to this golden image and not only bow down, but to serve all of the gods of Babylon. Everybody. Nobody was excluded. If you don't come out of your places of worship, it's fine for you to worship your gods, but you come out and worship this God and submit and serve to this image, who I am, supremely over every other god. It's all right for you to go in and have your little group in your small groups inside of your churches, but when I call you by law to come out, you will come out, or you will be fine. No. In Nebuchadnezzar's time, he didn't fine anybody. He just made the declaration that you will serve me or you will die. I will kill you. Come on, somebody. This is a type and shadow of the Antichrist. So I want to say for all of you that are here and all of you that are watching, if you can't serve God right now and live and serve him and worship him right now, you won't do it during the time of the tribulation, when the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar in the form of the Antichrist, full of the devil, comes on the scene and demands by the law that you bow down and worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important for us to grasp this fact. There is no other God in heaven and in earth to worship that is worthy of that much authority and that much power.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.